stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Amen, and let's pray together. I thank you now, Father, for the freedom we have in our country, and we thank you for the opportunity to assemble together today and worship you. May you speak to our hearts throughout this service, and we do thank you for our founding fathers. We thank you for the men and women through the years who have given their lives in our military so that we can have the freedom that we have today. And we thank you for a greater freedom that we have, and that is freedom in Jesus Christ. And how that Jesus taught us that if you shall know the truth shall set you free. And truly, we are free indeed. And we thank you for the opportunity on this weekend, again, to remember those who gave their lives, but also thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you that he is coming again. And help us to live this day, even in light of that great promise that I will come again. And so speak to our hearts throughout this service. May you be exalted, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Sing another song. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. Let's sing this song, remember our country and those great people who fought for it.
Skies for amber waves of gray, for purple mountain majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for patriotry that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. Shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Sing one more song with me, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Let's look at this great song about God's grace and thank the Lord we have his grace, and because of that we're no longer bound by the chains of sin.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
On the second verse.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Mercy reigns. is good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like the flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. Would God who called me here below will be
Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? If you are, say amen. Amen. Good to have the chains of sin broken and experience the amazing grace of God. Would you take your Bible this morning? I want us to read the scripture, and then we'll have some special music as well. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we are looking at verse number 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. And verse 4. Notice what the Word of God says here to us. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Keep your place there now this morning. I want to preach a message entitled, A Courageous Soldier. A Courageous Soldier. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you this morning for the power of your word. We do thank you for the great song that we just sang there, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And we thank you for that day that you saved us and you set us free. And we do praise you this morning for that great decision that we made. For some of us, it was years ago. For some, it wasn't that long ago. But in either respect, we thank you this morning for a great salvation. And we realize then that we are on the winning side and we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And help us to be courageous soldiers in these days, in Jesus' name, amen.
Prayer. Why suffer such betrayal? Why suffer agony? Why give his blood a fountain spilled and broken, flowing free? When he walked the road to Calvary, gave his life so willingly. Broken there, the rose of Sharon died for me. It was for me, for me he died. For me he shed his blood upon a tree. It was for me he came, for me his shame. For me, oh, praise his name, it was for me.
Amen. It was for me. Praise the Lord this morning that Jesus Christ gave his life for us, and there is no greater sacrifice, no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends, is what Jesus taught us. You know, we are able to meet today because down through the years, there have been men and women who literally have given their life. They gave their life. They were full of courage. They probably were fearful in some respects. But nonetheless, they had shown courage in face of difficulties. Here, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy was his disciplee, if you would, one that he had mentored along the way, a younger man than the Apostle Paul, but one nonetheless who he had just come alongside and helped him grow in his relationship with the Lord, helped him grow in the ministry. And we find that Timothy would also have times when he would come face to face with difficulty and would need help, he would need encouragement, and he also would need courage. He would need to be a courageous soldier of Jesus Christ. When you and I got saved, great things happened, did it not? I don't necessarily mean that there was balloons that went up in the air and confetti and all of that, but in our hearts, something great happened. We had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we moved from death to life. We moved out of darkness into light. There's so many great things that happened when we got saved. But yet we do learn, and it didn't take us long to learn, that after we got saved, we then were put in spiritual warfare. We are people who are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we find in this context, really starting with verse number 1 of chapter 2, he uses some different kinds of words and lessons to draw home who we are in Christ. He talks about in verse number 1 and 2 that we are like teachers. We are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about the fact that the Christian life is like an athlete and a farmer. But in verse number 3 and 4, he talks about how that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And in this day, I think at any other time, we need to be courageous soldiers of Jesus Christ. This is not a time for us to shrink back from the battle. This is the time for soldiers of Jesus Christ to move forward and engage in the battle. So what does that look like? Well, notice with me, if you would, in verse number 3, he talks about the fact that we need to be courageous and endure hardness. Look again, verse 3. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." To endure hardness has the idea to share in one's rough treatment. And how that Jesus Christ himself endured rough treatment. Yes, he did heal, and yes, he gave sight to the blind, and yes, he did give many great teachings while on earth, and yet he still endured rough treatment. Now, you and I are familiar with the cross and all that Christ went through at that point. But consider this, that the Lord Jesus Christ also suffered at the hands of sinners. Now, in this context, Paul is writing to Timothy while, once again, he is in prison. And we find in chapter 1 that evidently Timothy was being timid. Timothy had a difficult time associating with Paul being a prisoner. Literally, he was. And we find in verse number 7 that he says this in chapter 1, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." This verse probably has been used in these last 10 weeks more than any other preacher. Preachers across the land that are faithful to the Word of God have pointed this verse out, that God does not want us as his children in this time to be enveloped by fear. We're not to be just living our life in fear and being afraid. Because where does fear come from? Well, verse number 7 says it has not come to us from God. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. Now look at verse 8. In verse 8, he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." So he is saying to young Timothy, "Timothy, I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier. I don't want you to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I don't want you to be ashamed of me as a prisoner of the Lord." He said, "I don't want that to take place." In fact, he says, "Timothy, I want you to embrace, I want you to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Now listen carefully, church. I don't know what you were told when you got saved. I'm a 9-year-old boy. My life, even at that point, was changed by God's amazing grace. And it didn't take me long, even as a 9-year-old boy, a young Christian, to realize that being saved, while it is grand and while it is glorious, it can also bring with it afflictions. It can also bring with it difficulties. Chapter 3 of this same book, in verse number 12, notice what he says here. 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So this idea, and it's hard for us as Americans to really grasp this, because we have known freedom for over 200 plus years. It has come at great price, but still, we know freedom. But we know there's brothers and sisters in Christ today in other lands that don't have the freedom that we have here right now. They've never had it. They don't know what it is to be able to have like the First Amendment of the Constitution, that the Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof of worship and to be able to peaceably assemble. They don't know anything about that. If they were to say, "I'm a Christian," for some of them, that could immediately mean for them great difficulty. So for you and I, we don't know much about this. But yet he says in this context, Timothy, I want you to endure hardness. I want you to take one share of some rough treatment. Don't you dare be ashamed of me as a prisoner. Don't you be ashamed of our Lord, he says. You be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Someone has said that in adversity, we usually want God to do a removing job when he wants to do an improving job. To realize the worth of the anchor, we need to feel the storm. And we find in this context that he's telling Timothy, Timothy, you must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 78, in verse number 9, we have this sad verse, that the children of Ephraim, being armed, turned back in the day of battle. They were not courageous soldiers and stood on that front line. No, when they were armed, they turned in the moment of battle. They turned away. And Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, don't you dare turn back in the day of battle. You endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This idea that, you know, you just get saved and life is just peaches and cream is not biblical. It's not biblical. Now, would you say there are a lot of blessings being saved? Say amen. Yeah, there's a lot of blessings being saved. There sure are. But still, when we look at the totality of being a Christian, every one of us are in spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But secondly, notice this. Be courageous and stay focused on the mission. Look now at verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, when a person goes into the military, when they become a soldier, if you would, they are not to entangle themselves with the things of back home. It's not that they don't think about back home, but their focus is on the mission at hand. They are getting prepared to go possibly, if called upon, to go into battle. And the soldier then is to stay focused on that mission. They avoid entanglement. And they avoid the entanglement, even the good, so not to be sidetracked. You're there in 2 Timothy. Look in chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, let me show you someone who got distracted, who got entangled with the affairs of this life. He says in verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So here Demas, a Christian soldier, if you would, one who definitely was involved in warfare alongside the Apostle Paul, he may or may not have preached with Paul, I don't know, but he was a partner with Paul, and we find in the context that he has departed from me. He's gotten himself entangled with the affairs of this world, and he's not in ministry now. He's got off the front lines. He's gone to the rear, if you would. He's not there. He's not present as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He got himself entangled with the affairs of this life. Someone has said that it's a battlefield, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. And we find in this context that here he says to Timothy, don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Now, does that mean he just kind of like became oblivious to life around him? No. But keep in mind this thought. When Paul was writing this, Roman soldiers basically had ruled the day. And Roman soldiers had a code among them that said this, we forbid men engaged in military service to engage in civilian occupations. To show you how serious the Roman soldiers were, those men that would enlist in the Roman army, they would be literally branded. You know, like cows are branded. They would be branded, and that brand would say, I belong to Rome, and I am a soldier of Rome. Now think about how Paul said in another book where he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul knew then what it was like for those Roman soldiers to be branded, to say, I'm going to follow in this Roman army. In fact, the legionary soldiers among the Romans were not permitted to engage in husbandry, merchandise, mechanical employments, or anything that might be inconsistent with their calling. They took it seriously. How much more should we, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, take our calling seriously? That we do not engage, if you would, with the affairs or become entangled, would be a better word as the Bible uses it, entangled with the affairs of this life. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gave a teaching on the parable of the sower. And he talked about how the seed would fall upon thorny soil. And then he gave a meaning to that, and here's what it is. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. In other words, this soldier of Jesus Christ, you and I, we then have to be careful we don't allow the affairs of this world to so crowd out everything else in our, so crowd out our relationship with Jesus Christ. That we got to stay focused on this. That we've got to say, I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm going to stay on the front lines. I'm not going to entangle myself with the affairs. Demas hath forsaken me. He got entangled and then became a poor soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier of Jesus Christ avoids entanglements with the affairs of this life. Now, again, please understand, the Bible is not saying that we go in, well, you wouldn't go in tomorrow. You don't go in on Tuesday and say, well, Mr. Boss, I'm done. I'm not working anymore. I don't want to be entangled with the affairs of this life. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No, that's not what Jesus was teaching. Jesus wasn't teaching that, if you would, we, like some years ago, would say we all need to just sell everything that we have and just go on a hill somewhere and wait for Jesus to come. Jesus said this, occupy till I come. Stay on the front lines and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ and be a courageous soldier who is staying focused on the mission. Now, church, I will tell you there are times in our life, I have, you have, where either we have knelt here or we have knelt in our heart at a chair and we have made a decision or two or probably many of them in our life, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and we meant it with all of our heart. We were sincere in it. And isn't it interesting, though, how if we look back on it and say, you know what, I'm amazed at how soon I'm removed from making that decision. I said I was going to begin to read my Bible, and boy, I really started off good and strong for a week, but where'd I get off? Boy, I was going to really start this week and really engage myself in prayer, but life happened. And you can think with me how many times in life we have made some good, solid decisions to do some things for the Lord, and we meant well, and yet the follow-through didn't last too long. Why? I think it's just what the Bible says here, that we entangled ourselves with the affairs of this life. Over the last 10 weeks, the greatest challenge for me, one, just a Christian, but then as a pastor, has been to stay focused on the mission. It really really has. It's been real easy to get swallowed up with this political position or that political position on this whole matter. It's been real easy to get caught up in, should you wear a mask, should you not wear a mask? They tell you to wear one, then they tell you not to wear one. Then you got people afraid to even almost come even 6 feet close to you. You with me? And so what I'm getting at is this. For me personally, the challenge has been to stay focused on the mission. Not allow these other issues. Is this virus serious? Yes, I believe that. I've never downplayed that. It is serious. But may I say that this country has faced matters like this before, and we as God's people don't need, as was said in this passage, not to cower in fear, but we need to be courageous soldiers of Jesus Christ. This isn't a time for us to pull back and say, whoa, you know, I'm not going to be as engaged as I once was. Why not? The enemy, may I say, is even more so engaged now. I mean, I'm going to begin pretty soon a prophetic series with you, but I believe some of the prophecy passages of Scripture are beginning to unfold right before our very eyes. And so that being true, the church doesn't need to do less church. The church needs to do more church. Amen? We don't need to, you know, cower and say, no, we can't do it. I mean, I've been just starting with Brady this week and just talking to him about just in the area of our outreach. You know, and you think about how does the church now do outreach? Well, here's what I know. God cares about outreach. And so God will chart the course for us through this. But for the church to say it's over, we just can't do it anymore, don't believe it. They haven't said that when you go to a store, you can't give somebody a track. They haven't said that if you do your business, that you can't say a word of encouragement, a word of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They haven't said any of that. We can still talk to people about the most important thing, that is their soul. They need Jesus. And we as God's people are to be courageous and stay on mission. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I have a son-in-law who had served our country. He served 1 year in Iraq and doesn't talk much about it because I'm sure he saw some things there that he just soon forget. But that said, I do know from talking with him about other matters of being a soldier, how important it was for him to stay focused, to stay on mission, particularly when he was serving there in Iraq. That when you're out in their Humvee, when they're out in their Jeep, whatever it may be, because he would ride around in those. That he had to be careful. He never knew where a bomb was hidden. He had to stay focused on mission. Likewise, in this context, Paul says, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Stay focused on mission. But then notice this. Be courageous and stay focused on the Savior. Look at verse 4. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Hey, may I say that Calvary Baptist Church did not enlist you in the fight. Jesus Christ, our Savior, enlisted us. When we got saved, we got, in the family of God, but we also got put into a great warfare. We got put into a battle. And at the end of the day, we need to live our life in the audience of one that is Jesus Christ, because one day you and I will stand before him. We will give an account and we want to be able to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That we pleased him. And we find in the context that he says this in Hebrews chapter 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Have you ever, be honest with yourself this morning, have you ever been at times where you just wanted to give up in the Christian life? Where the difficulties were tough and you just kind of felt all alone in the battle? And he said, consider Jesus. Consider him that endured what he endured against himself. Lest or unless you be wearied and faint in your minds. When you're tempted to quit, consider Jesus. As Laura sang this morning, it was for me he died, but you think about all that he went through, all the lead up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus and then the crucifixion. When you think about that, how can we do less than give our best and live for him completely after all he's done for us? And we find in this context, he says, I want you to be courageous and I want you to stay focused on Jesus. Why? Because one, he's alive. Notice verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He is very much alive. We serve a risen Savior. He's alive, and then we notice also this, that he is victorious. Notice now verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Hey, church family, there is coming a day when we will be rewarded. Sometimes people think it's wrong thinking to think that we ought to serve the Lord for reward. I do not, because one, it's in the Bible. We don't get the reward for selfish gain. We get it, I believe, as you read the book of Revelation, that one day we'll be gathered around the throne and we will cast those crowns back at the feet of the Lord Jesus because he's worthy. But one day, church, one day, we will, as courageous soldiers of Jesus Christ, we will be rewarded. Probably one of the great things for a soldier, I have never served our country. The draft stopped before I had to it stopped, so I never had to sign up for the draft. But God didn't call me, if you would, to serve our country, but he's called me to do what I'm doing here today. But I tell you, one of the great things for a soldier is victory. Who wants to serve on a losing team, right? I remember, I don't know if any of you kids that are with us here this morning, when you get engaged in some kind of a ball game, just voluntary, and let's say you got Joey and you got David, and Joey's a captain and David's a captain, and here's all these kids in front of them, and they'll start saying, okay, I want Sydney. And then he'll say, I want Peyton. And then Dylan. And I want them on my team. You know what I always hated about that? For whatever reason, I always seemed to be the last guy that was picked. It's like, come on. I love the game. So I always try to be the captain. But anyway, I think about, though, I did play sports. And when I was engaged in sports, I'll guarantee you, I did not play the game to lose. Did I ever lose? Did we ever lose as a team? We sure did. I think about some of these high schools in our area that year after year after year after year, there's no winning record. Not naming any schools, guys. But we have a few of those in our state. And I mean, just like, you know, after a while, it's like, who wants to go out for that team? They just keep losing and losing and losing. But I tell you what, you get saved, you get put on the winning team. Amen? Amen. You get put on the winning team, and you have and you live your Christian life. You don't live for victory. You fight from victory. You're on the winning side. Hudson Taylor, a missionary of yesteryear, said this: it is not by trying to be faithful, but in looking to the faithful one that we win the victory. The story is told of a young soldier in the army of Alexander the Great who, during one violent battle, could not control the fear that gripped him. So the young man turned from the battle and began to run away from the battle. In the course of his attempt to run, an officer apprehended him and took him in chains to stand before the great general. Alexander the Great asked the young soldier his name, to which the frightened soldier said, "Alexander, sir." And the general replied harshly and said, "Young man, change your ways or change your name. Now return to your duty station and see to it that you never stand before me again with such a charge made against you." That's exactly what he did. After the battle was over and the army of Alexander the Great had prevailed, the same officer took the liberty to take young Alexander to his commander, but this time not in chains. The officer reported that the young soldier returned to his unit as he was told to do, and in the course of the rest of the battle conducted himself with outstanding valor and bravery and courage. The great general was so impressed that he promoted and decorated both Alexander and the officer. You see, before him at one time, he wanted to run away and not engage the battle. The other time, he says, "You know, I will go forward and I will engage the battle." And church family, this morning, I want to remind you and me that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ, and he has called upon us to be courageous soldiers of Christ. And today it may be that you need to ask God to help you to endure the hardness. Some of you come from some family situations that don't really avail itself of great opportunities and encouragement to really live for God. And so you've got to endure the hardness of that and stand for the Lord. Ask God today, "God, help me to endure the hardness. Lord, help me to stay courageous and stay focused on the mission. Help me not to get distracted by the things of this world, but help me to stay on point. Help me to stay on mission." Some of you today need to just say, "God, help me to be courageous as a soldier and stay focused on you. Stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ." And may we today take heed to this, that in the end, we may please him that hath chosen us to be a soldier. Will you be a courageous soldier of Jesus Christ? That's what he's calling upon us to do in these days. Remember, you are on the winning team. So let us live up to that victory. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, today I do thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for this passage of scripture that challenges us to be courageous soldiers of Jesus Christ. We probably don't think about it enough, but we are on the winning side, and you have set us up for victory, not defeat. You wouldn't put us in a battle that we would lose. Our enemy, Satan, is a defeated foe, and he walks about seeking whom he may devour. And so help us to realize this morning that you have called us to endure hardness as a good soldier. You want us to stay focused on the mission and stay focused on the Lord Jesus. So this morning, would you help us to do just that? In Jesus' name I pray. Now with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, would there be those here this morning who would say, Pastor, I realize I am a soldier of Jesus Christ, but I have been kind of backing away from the battle. I haven't really been enduring that hardness. And I would that you remember me in prayer, that I would not retreat from the battle, but that I would engage in the battle and be a soldier that endures hardness. If that's you this morning, that's your need, would you raise your hand right where you're at so I can remember you in prayer? Anybody at all this morning say, Pastor, remember me in prayer that I would endure hardness as a good soldier. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be wimpy. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ and endure hardness. Anybody at all this morning? Yes, God bless you. Somebody else? Somebody else this morning? Would there be those here who say, Pastor, I've gotten distracted. I'll be honest. I've gotten distracted. I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ, no doubt about that. But I've gotten distracted in the battle. I've allowed the affairs of life just to crowd out what matters most. And today I want to get refocused on the Savior and on the mission. That's the need in my life. Is there someone like that this morning? Would you raise your hand right where you're at? Anybody at all while we wait? Say, yes, Pastor, that's me. I've gotten off mission. I've lost my focus. Today I want to refocus. And I would that you remember me in prayer. Just lift your hand up right where you're at. Anybody at all while we wait? Would there be somebody here that say, Pastor, I'm not a soldier of Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm not even saved. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning. Would you raise your hand and acknowledge it this morning? Remember you in prayer? Anybody at all while we wait? In just a moment, we're going to stand together. And we will sing, Have Your Way, Lord, Have Your Way. And as we do, I'm going to encourage you. As a soldier of Jesus Christ, say, Lord, help me. Help me to be courageous. Help me to endure hardness. Help me to stay focused on the mission and on my Savior. I'm going to encourage you to come. Just space out here and just kneel here or kneel at your chair. But come this morning and ask the Lord to strengthen you. And now, Father, we commit the balance of this invitation to you. Help people to be obedient now. In Jesus' name, amen.